What does it take to bring a once strong congregation down to nothing? You know, one of the congregations that recently closed in California is the church that meets in Escalon. And that congregation I have fond memories of as a young boy, where the parking lot was overflowing. We're parking out on River Road. The congregation, the building was full. They're holding big gospel meetings. And now we're never going to meet in that place again. And that makes me really sad to think about that. I started thinking about that. Cause and effect. What caused these great, strong congregations that we thought this big congregation is never going to go anywhere. They're going to be here for the rest of eternity. But now they're gone, like Modesto. What happened to these places? Cause and effect. And so I thought of this. 7 ways to kill a church. This morning I know it's 7 ways in 12 minutes, but we can do it. 7 ways to kill a church. The first one is by not laying by in store. When you have no financial means to hold meetings, to hire a preacher, to buy Bible study materials, to hold gospel meetings, to have a preacher there to work amongst you, when you do that, you cut off the means of evangelism for the church to grow. We know Acts 20 and 7, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 2, 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. You'll meet on the first day of the week. We take up collection as we've been prospered, and God loves a cheerful giver. These verses are simple verses. They're not too hard to understand. As members of the Lord's church, we have an obligation and a command to lay by in store every first day of the week. And we're blessed in that. Now, we haven't been given this 10% mandatory tithe. We have liberty to give as much as we want to help the church out however we can. We're so blessed in this country. We have to recognize all the blessings we have. We only have because God's given them to us. And so do we show God our appreciation of that by giving back to Him as much as He's given to us? Well, when you cut off the finances of the church, you're cutting off the life support of that congregation. You're cutting off that congregation's ability to spread the gospel in the local area. And that's one way you can kill the church. The second way is by not respecting Romans 14 regarding Christian liberties. We know we can go ahead, we can teach opinions about doubtful things as if they're binding law, but it's just as wrong to make a law as it is to break a law. Mark says in 15 and 9, Jesus says there, "And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines and commandments of men." Holding opinions as law creates worship that Jesus says is in vain. But what does Romans 14 say about Christian liberties? Romans 14 verse 1 says, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things." Or as the English Standard Version says, not to quarrel over opinions. Many congregations have been quietly divided and severely weakened because of disputes and intolerance over matters that are just liberty. If you want to kill a church, that's a good place to start. Disrespect to Paul's teaching on liberty will not bring peace and unity to a congregation. It will bring weakness, it will bring division, and eventually it will bring death to that congregation. And part of that is my third point, which is backbiting. What is backbiting? Some synonyms for backbiting are slander and gossip, speaking evil of the brethren. How unfortunately common is this, that we find ourselves speaking evil of the brethren? Paul warns in Galatians 5 and 15, "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Do you sit around at home picking apart everyone else's faults? Or do you sit at home lifting them up? Talking about what's good about people, complimenting their lessons, complimenting their works and what they're trying to do. If you want to kill the church, gossip and backbiting are going to be a useful tool in your toolbox towards bringing the church down. And if you enjoy backbiting, you're going to love my next point. Number 4, spend no time together. In 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 16, God says, "I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God. They will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty." Christians, as we should know, are a great big family. Everyone here in this building, we are all sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. There's not a doubt in my mind that evil company corrupts good habits. I've seen it too many times in my own life. I've seen it too many times in the lives of loved ones. Evil company corrupts good habits. You are who you surround yourself with. And so when you only see Christians 3 times a week tops, who are you really surrounding yourself with? When you have a congregation full of Christians who only meet at worship services, you have a congregation full of people who are more influenced by the world they spend time with than they are the Christians they should be spending time with. We need to be spending time with each other. If you're trying to kill the church, then definitely avoid spending time together as the family that you should. And speaking of spending time together, number five, the fifth way to kill a church, don't teach your kids the importance of the church. Brother George gave a great sermon last night on the importance of bringing up spiritually minded, godly children, teaching them on a daily basis. He quoted from Ephesians 6, look at Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Kids learn as much from example as they do from verbal instruction. As much, or actually more, from example as they do from verbal instruction. You might tell your kids all the time how important it is to be at church, how special the church is, how important the Christian life is. But what do they learn on the car ride home from your actions? What do they learn on a daily basis from your actions? Do you complain when sermons go long? Oh, brother so-and-so is teaching tonight. He's going to give the longest sermon we ever heard. He always does. Oh, I hate when brother so-and-so has the prayer. Set your alarm clock. You're going to fall asleep through this one. Do we have those kind of things that we say? What are you teaching your kids when you say that? What are you teaching your kids when you say, it's okay, we can miss Sunday night for your baseball game. It's okay, you can miss Wednesday night for your football practice. What are you teaching your kids? When your kids fail to learn the importance of the church, they fail to see a need to be there. And when your kids are no longer seeing the need to be at the church, they won't be in the church, and then the church will eventually shrivel up and die. Our sixth point, our sixth way to kill a church this morning is to give up on personal work. Give up on your community. Give up on the world around you. We have a responsibility to bring the gospel to the whole world, not just our families. We have a responsibility to bring the gospel to the entire world around us. Mark 16:15, Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28:19, go therefore make disciples of all the nations. I know of preachers that have said verbally, they've voiced this opinion, said, I am going to give up on personal work in the community where I live. I'm going to focus on maintaining the bunch that I have. I think the community we're in is fruitless. We're not going to make any headway here. I'm giving up on it. What? That's not the job of an evangelist. Isn't the job of an evangelist to evangelize? We should be going into all the world. Yes, work with your congregation, build them up. But giving up on your community, deciding to completely abandon reaching out to the community, is signing the death sentence for your congregation. You need to have a people who are working towards bringing the gospel to the whole world. Seventh this morning, don't follow through on church discipline. If you want to kill the church, don't follow through with church discipline. Church discipline is for the good of the church, not for the detriment. It doesn't hurt the church in any way in the long run. Therefore, to fail to follow through with the discipline will be greatly damaging to the church. We know Matthew 18. If your brother sins against you, go to him one-on-one. If he won't hear you, bring two or three witnesses. If you won't hear them, bring the whole church. If you won't hear them, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Romans 16:17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and avoid them. Titus 3:10. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition. And there's many other verses telling us to remove the leaven from the lump, to reject divisive people, to reject heretics, to reject adulterous people. Why does the church do these things? There's two reasons. One, to protect the Christians from having this inner circle kind of influence of evil. We can't have this evil in the church influencing us. And two, is to protect the reputation of the church within the community. When we preach to the community around us against all these sins, and the community around us sees that we have these kind of sinners in our congregation and we're doing nothing about it, they'll have no respect for our congregation and no one's going to want to go there. Or maybe you're just afraid of withdrawing fellowship because you think this adulterous family is going to entirely leave. We'll lose this whole family if we withdraw fellowship from this one guy. Well, you may shrink some in number, but you're going to grow in strength by filtering out the apathetic Christians who don't care about God's law, about these sins that should be withdrawn from. So if you want to kill a church, be sure that those people who should be withdrawn from are just allowed to freely attend worship as if nothing is wrong. I want to sum up with this word, apathy. I think apathy really sums this whole thing up. A basic definition of apathy: a lack of interest, enthusiasm, or concern. How are you this morning? Do you just have apathy in your life? Do you have a lack of care for the church? Think about Paul. In 2 Corinthians 11:22-28, we're not going to read it because I have 1 minute left. Paul lists this entire list of things that were done to him for the cause of Christ. Paul had a lot of things on his plate. Paul had a lot going on in his life that could have driven him away from the church. Paul had a lot of things to think about. Everybody wanted to kill him, but he didn't worry about that. What does he say in verse 28? Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches. If you're on the path towards killing the church, it's probably because your concern for the church is shallow. Let's try to be more like Paul, having a deep concern for all the churches.